It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here and declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, from Phoenix, Arizona. Arizona, where we're always in the national news because. You know, there's a lot of reasons why, but, you know, we just are. Because there's a lot of people out here resisting the man. And who's the man? I don't know. The guys won't leave us alone with the shiny badges and the uniforms. Well, yesterday we had in studio Jim Deacon. He's running for U.S. Senate in the Republican primary against John McCain and Hayworth. So we wanted to make sure we got to know who he was. Because the biggest reason was, I'll tell you what happened. We had Pastor Stephen Anderson came in and talking about his not guilty verdict and going through the checkpoint in southern Arizona. And he's just like, nope, not playing. Boom. Broke windows, tased him, beat the crap out of him, bloodied him, all this kind of stuff, all on video. And it went to trial, and the judge dismissed it, saying with prejudice, you know, this is just the government's really messing up on this and not, you know, providing defense of what they're supposed to, blah, blah, blah. Dismissed. They appealed the dismissal and went ahead and got a trial anyway. And the jury, not guilty, after just an hour and a half, come out, shake his hand and said, thanks for standing up for our rights as Americans. Yeah, what's going on there? But with him being on, there is someone that is working, I guess it's a We Hate McCain crowd more than they love Hayworth. But this Jim Deacon is a Tea Party candidate coming up and causing them some problems. And they think that he's going to be the kingmaker in this thing, and they want him to drop out and endorse, you know, either one of the other candidates, really. But so we wanted to find out what's what. Well, there's just no way we're going to have the Republicans getting all their thing about U.S. Senate without having the Libertarian candidate coming in to talk. David Nolan, one of the founders of the Libertarian Party back in the early 70s, and now lives in Tucson area, and he's running for U.S. Senate. And he, after the primary this next week, our primary here in Arizona is this next Tuesday. So it's, you know, when all of the people fall to the wayside and the three quarters of the signs on every corner you have out here are obsolete and done, and they're down. Well, then what happens? They're, you know, gearing up or putting up a bunch of the Libertarian guys. You know, they always knew they were going to be in the general and say, hello. Well, one of those is David Noland. And we'll get to him in just a second. But I tell you what's going on also at the last hour. We're going to have Charles Goyette come in and talk about yesterday. He did a money bomb. He did a 2-hour spiel as a host, talking to a lot of people around the country, promoting a money bomb for Ron Paul's birthday for his son, Rand. And I know Charles is, you know, he's kind of, you know, he's not a big giant Rand fan, but he is a Ron Paul fan. And it's his birthday, so he helped out with that. And they raised a couple $100,000. And they're still going at it hard again today. So by the end of the weekend, they may hit, you know, $400,000 was kind of what they wanted to do, because the guy that they're going up against, the current Secretary of State, I think he is. Yeah. No, he beat that guy in the primary, I think. Well, the guy that he's going up against, he loaned himself $400,000, I think, and they just wanted to match it just so they can say they did. Well, that's cool. That's cool. So we'll be talking about what he had to go on. Plus, he's writing a book on freedom, his second book. A publisher did so well with his Dollar Meltdown. They said, yep, here's a retainer. Write another book. So he's doing it on freedom. And one thing we'll talk a little bit about also is our quest to find out what's going on in the water when they start advocating putting lithium into drinking water. Yeah, well, in trace amounts somewhere, it makes suicide rate go down. And the people accept their gilded cage more, so we need to add lithium. Well, he did some research on it and went, holy crap! It's true. So we'll talk about that a little bit. That's going in his book. And then Gerald Celente, we're going to have him next Wednesday. We've had him on before, but he's writing the article, the greatest depression. He really likes that phrase. And I go, yeah, I beat you by a year, man. I've been saying it since summer of 2007. Here we go. So anyway, so we'll duke it out there and I'll let him have it. I don't care. This is going to be a good show because he's always entertaining, but it's scary too. Well, now we need to go to David Nolan. Tell us what kind of campaign we look forward to when he finally all the brush gets burned away and we get into the general election going up here. I got you there, David?
You do indeed, Ernest.
David, tell me everything. The one thing I'm really interested in is what kind of play are you getting, this early in the process? I mean, here in Arizona, even though the primary is so late, what we do have, though, is that when it's over, man, here's all the libertarians start popping up and all these other candidates go away and they got to come against us. Well, David, tell me, how's the campaign going, man?
Well, it hasn't really moved into high gear yet. The kickoff, so to speak, of the active phase of my campaign effort will be on Saturday the 28th. That's 8 days from now. The Tucson Tea Party is having a Meet the Candidates event on Saturday the 28th. At Reed Park in Tucson, and they've invited all the candidates who make it through the primary or who are not contested in a primary, so they'll be on the ballot automatically since we don't have any challengers, to come and make a brief pitch to the crowd, and I don't know whether that's going to be 200 people or 1,000 or however many, but I'm going to be there. My good friend Barry Hess, the Libertarian candidate for governor, is going to be there. And we think we're going to have a great opportunity because, as I see it, I very much suspect that John McCain will not lower himself to come down to Tucson and actually talk to a crowd of a few hundred people because, he's too important to actually talk to a few hundred constituents unless they all have $1,000 checks in their hands. The Democrat won't show up because whoever it turns out to be, he or she is going to realize that this is not a friendly environment for them, since the Tea Party folks are pretty much anti-big government, at least in some areas, not so much so in other areas, unfortunately. But that's going to be the kickoff of the active phase of my campaign. I've done a few interviews. I've done quite a few radio interviews and two newspaper interviews already, a number of reporters for, and one television interview, and a number of people who work for newspapers and TV stations and so forth, said, yeah, we're going to cover you once the primary's over. We got to focus on the people who are in contested primaries first. Don't worry, we'll get to you. That's what they always say. We'll see if they actually do. So, I'm not counting on getting a free ride from the media. We're running on a shoestring budget, but thanks to the power of the Internet, we've gotten a lot of publicity. I've got 700 and some people on my campaign group's Facebook page. And, of course, that didn't even exist 2 years ago. I've got nearly 100 people signed up as volunteers on my campaign website, which is www.nolan2010.org. And I'm counting on kind of a grassroots kind of effort, such as the Ron Paul campaign produced 3 years ago, 2 years ago, where people can download flyers directly from the website, print them at their local Kinko's, hand them out wherever they live. I'm doing a lot of these phone-in interviews, and that's going to accelerate for the next couple months. I think we're going to reach not all of the voters in Arizona, but I think through one means or another, we're going to spread the libertarian message, the idea that you own your life and the government should just butt out. We're going to get that out to probably 70% of the voters in the state.
This is one thing that I did want to talk about. We kind of run up against the break. I'll let you think about it in the break, and we'll talk about it in the next segment. But this is,
okay,
I'm going to frame my question. The libertarian message, that was one of the reasons why there was support for my even starting to do radio back in 03 before we went into the war. You know, people were like, hey, we got to get a libertarian up there to say, you know, no, at a time that even the libertarians are trying to kind of bring in the conservatives. We want to be poppy. We want to be America, MK, America. And, you know, let's go kick some, you know, Afghani butt or something like that. And it really started, I mean, being that you've been so intimately involved with the Libertarian Party at a national level, you know, from its inception. And I'm going, you know, there had to have been some concerns on your part. And certainly even now after, you know, Barr and Root and their influence in the Libertarian Party, I can see that there's this effort to try and be Tea Party-ish or to try and glean off some support of these people that are maybe a little more in support of war than I would think that in your campaign going up against McCain, that you might have a different position. And as you speak to the Tea Party this next week, there's going to be a stark difference. And I'd like to see what that difference is between you and the Republicans and Democrats, but also with the, you know what, you know, the hijacking of the National Party might be. So these are things to think about, and I think the audience would be interested in it. And we'll give those answers from David Nolan, running for U.S. Senate, in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Hey, welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Well, we're funky. That's right. We're getting some funky music here. Because, you know, it's libertarians. You know, that's just the way we roll. You know, the one thing I wanted to make sure David Nolan, running for U.S. Senate, he's one of the founders of the Libertarian Party from its beginnings almost 40 years ago. And this has been a very, I don't know if I would say useful, if not necessary, perspective that people need to have to understand the one thing that they want to make sure that is kept from you. And the whole thing is this. The proper role of government is defense of individual rights. And if they're not doing that, it's time to alter or abolish. And what libertarians have been doing from the beginning is advocating the idea that you own yourself, that you own you. I mean, just that simple concept is so dangerous to all collectives that would need to have some kind of rationalization or justification for them stealing from you to fund fill in the blank. Well, it's gotten everything that we've been screaming about, that I'm sure you've been screaming about, the philosophy's been screaming about, David, has the ramifications of all this is starting to come to pass. And I don't know how hard is it to sell the libertarian message to people. I mean, are they open to it? Are they resistant? Are they mad because you're the messenger or what?
Well, it's a little bit of each, Ernest. Some people are receptive, more receptive than they've ever been. Take for just one example the whole issue of sound money and how the Federal Reserve System has totally distorted our economy and has transferred wealth from people who actually produce things to members of the parasite class. If you try to talk about the Federal Reserve and the money system 20 or even 10 years ago, people would look at you real funny, you know, they'd give you that sort of squinty, you know, what are you, crazy look. Now it's pretty mainstream to talk about that. The American people, or at least a substantial portion of them, have woken up to the fact that there's something really, really fundamentally wrong with our whole economic system, our whole money system, that you know, they were duped and swindled, and, you know, that a few people have gotten rich and the whole middle class has been pushed, if not into poverty, very close to it. So that's one area where there's certainly a greatly increasing awareness. There's also an awareness that war is the health of the state. That's a quote originally from a man named Randolph Byrne, who said that about 100 years ago. He was a progressive. He thought that was good. You know, he favored a big and powerful state and therefore liked the idea of the government expanding its power in time of war. And if you look back throughout history, governments always expand their powers greatly during a time of war, and then they pull back a little bit, maybe halfway to where it was before the war. Well, you go through that cycle three or four times, and pretty much the government's controlling everything. So even the conservatives now, the people at the Tea Parties, a lot of them are still sort of knee-jerk patriots. Well, you know, we're at war, we got to stay till we win. But you point out, well, what does win mean in today's context? You know, is it really worth spending thousands of American lives, billions of American dollars, killing tens of thousands of innocent civilians all around the world in the name of what? An awful lot of conservatives who would have just gone nutso a few years ago now are nodding their heads and going, yeah, if we're going to solve this whole thing and end the deficits and get back into some kind of limited government, we have to stop our empire building. We cannot be an empire and a constitutional republic at the same time. We're going to have to choose. So that's very encouraging. Now, when I speak at Tea Party events or any time I'm dealing primarily with conservatives, I find that we agree about two-thirds of the time, and the other third of the time, I'm very upfront with them. I say, hey, if you want to support me, want to vote for me, you can do that. I'd appreciate your support, but I'm not going to change my issue stance just to get your vote. That's why you're mad at McCain, because he's a flip-flopper. He says one thing and does another. I'll never do that to you. I'm going to tell you right now where I stand, and if you can put up with the areas where you disagree, if you'll trust in my integrity and you like the fact that I'm with you two-thirds of the time or more, support me. But, you know, I'm not going to change the fundamental principle, which you just enunciated very clearly, Ernest, is the idea of self-ownership and the fact that government's only legitimate function is to protect our individual rights. And I'm not going to budge on that, and people can either accept it or not.
Well, the problem is that, you know, doing that really takes it to a place that they may be uncomfortable with.
Well, too bad for them.
Well, you know, but they don't even understand why. You know, they'll say, I go, do you own yourself? Okay, well, then do you control your body enough you can put whatever you want in it? You know, like drugs or something? I mean,
that's,
a lot of times you can't even get past that.
One-third of the time that they get a little uncomfortable, and I just keep coming back to the point of either you own yourself, rights are individual rights, the government doesn't give them to you, our Constitution guarantees many of the rights that you have as a human being, you can call them natural rights or God-given rights or whatever, but government doesn't create rights. Government is a creation of human beings. It derives its just powers from the consent of the governed, meaning us. And if you don't accept that idea that our rights are innate and universal and government derives its legitimate powers from our consent, that we've assigned the ability to enforce those rights to government, well, then you just got to learn. And as I said, most of the time, I find that most conservatives will nod their head, and they're a little uncomfortable, but part of my job as a messenger carrying the message of liberty is to open up people's minds, to stretch their minds. And I would invite any of your listeners who'd like to see where I stand on the key issues of the day to go to my website, nolan2010.org, and read through them and think about each of the statements there. There's 10 issues covered. The typical conservative is going to agree with about 7 of them.
Nolan, N-O-L-A-N, 2010.org, right?
That is correct.
Okay, now tell me this. You know, the big issue. I mean, you can't flip on the TV. I watch almost no TV. I mean, none. The only thing I got DVR'd, whatever it is I want to watch, and then I watch movies and I'm on the internet.
I'm the same way.
So when I'm on there, I just flipping through or looking at the guy. Man, there are McCain, Hayworth, television. I bet you each of them are spending $20, $30, $40 million.
McCain's spending about $13 to $15 million, and Hayworth's only spent about $2 or $3 million. He's being outspent at least five to one by the McCain camp. And consequently, whatever you think of the two men as individuals, and you know, whether you like them or not, whether you agree with them or not, McCain just has all the chips on his side of the table. He's got the name recognition. He's got 90% of the party establishment. He's got 5 times as much, cash on hand. It's going to be a miracle for Hayworth or Deakin to beat McCain. My prediction is McCain will win, but he won't get much more than 50%. I think he'll get in the low 50s.
You know, I'm shocked it's only $20 million for all these guys combined, because I'm like, dang, man, and it's just ad after ad after ad. You can't get away from it. So, and that's even on cable, you know, on, you know, not just local stations. So I'm going, okay. So we got, I'll tell you what they are all about. What's the issue that they're hitting on heavy?
Well, it's the border. We got to keep those evil Mexicans out of our country.
Well, what's your position? I mean, we're going into a general. You know they're going to be hammering on immigration. I mean, and that, certainly they'd have to for a for this primary. But McCain
was a legitimate issue. It's a matter of real concern. Arizona is a border state. We do share an international border with Mexico. And my position, stated as simply as possible, is we need to make it easier for good people to come into the United States and more difficult for the bad people. By bad people, I mean terrorist criminals, people with communicable diseases. And I pointed out time and again that if we make it easy for someone who wants to come here to work or start a business or join their family, if we make it easier for them to do that, and I don't want to try to get into specifying the exact mechanism, then the 95% or more of Mexicans and Central Americans who are coming here will be able to do that. If we open a door for them wider and allow them to come in legitimately, you can at that point presume that anybody who's sneaking across the border, which will be 2% as many, is probably here for bad purposes, and therefore it doesn't take nearly as much effort to keep a small number of people from coming in illegitimately as it does to presume that everybody's coming in for nefarious purposes and trying to block them all.
Yeah, well, all right, we'll talk some more about it when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, U.S. Senate candidate against the bad guys here in Arizona, David Nolan. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Down in Tucson, Arizona, near the border, we have David Nolan. He's running for U.S. Senate against whoever the bad guys are come out of this race in the primary this next week. And then it's gonna be on like Donkey Kong. There's going to be all kinds of discussions about, and I guarantee, well, I don't know, is the immigration issue going to be as big a deal going into the general as it was in the primary, you think?
I think it's going to be a big deal, but I'm not sure it's going to be the biggest deal. You know, McCain and Hayworth have been really straining to try to differentiate themselves from one another. If you step back a few paces and you look at it, they're not really that far apart. Yeah, the way I like to put it is if you look at two pieces on adjacent squares on a chessboard, if you look at the whole chessboard, they're right next to each other. If you zoom in on two squares, you can say, well, he's on this side and I'm on that side. There's not a great deal of difference between the two candidates. Whoever wins, and I'm willing to bet that it's McCain, not that I necessarily prefer him, but I think that's who's going to win because, as I said before the break, he's got all the resources and the name recognition and, you know, 5, 10, 20 times as much money as the Hayworth camp. Once that's passed, I don't think that there's going to be as much of a fight over that. McCain's for a, quote, comprehensive immigration reform.
Well, define that for me, you know this comprehensive, does anybody even, because we've been through this so many times before with him, and it's always something. He's pandering to whatever, but now, man, he sees, oh, this immigration thing, and what's the problem is that Hayworth has wrapped his arms and legs around this one single issue so much, but you can't compete with 5 times as much money over there saying, I never said that.
Well, you're right. And you know, the latest batch of ads from the Hayworth camp are about the hardest hitting, most personally nasty ads I've seen in many, many years in any medium. I don't know if you've seen them, the ones where they repeat McCain saying, I chose lying, I chose lying. I think they're turning it into a character issue, or trying to, and implying that McCain is a man of who lacks principle and will say anything to get elected. Now, whether or not that's true, I don't want to get into that discussion, but I think once we get past the primary, it's going to be pretty sure it's going to be McCain for the Republicans. I have no idea who the Democrats are going to put up, but frankly, it makes no difference. They're all third and fourth tier people. You know, they couldn't get a, they could get no prominent Democrat to run against McCain. No congressman, no state legislator, no.
Well, we have the founder of the Libertarian Party representing the libertarian philosophy. I would hope, you know, against McCain, that you would think that at the very least, people are going to do what they always do, is after the primary, when all the chaff is blown away, they go to the internet, they start checking out people, and they look and see who this David guy is. I think they might be surprised. But, you know, tell me, how are you differentiated from a lot of the stuff that we're getting out of the National Party? Because running for U.S. Senate, I mean, that's getting close to, that's federal, and it's getting close to the national policy and foreign aid and our war policy and economics. I mean, a lot of this stuff comes from national. They're going to want to have their input and their say. Are you willing to just say, yeah, whatever national says, or do you got something a little bit different?
Well, I'm on the national committee, as I believe you know, because you were in the convention where we chose the new national committee, and nobody... There is not a unanimous viewpoint on the Libertarian National Committee, but there's certainly a predominant viewpoint, which is very close to what I'm representing in my election here in Arizona. There is a minority viewpoint, which is most vocally represented by a man named Wayne Allen Root, who is, I won't go so far as to say that Wayne is evil, but he's really not a hardcore libertarian. I had some rather harsh exchanges with him a few days ago, and he says, I'm an 80% libertarian and 20% common sense. Now, I don't know what that means.
We can pick that apart.
That's Wayne's own root. Wayne Root's own words. Unfortunately, the 20% where he diverges, or more, where he diverges from libertarian principles, always seem to be in the direction of appeasing the conservatives. You know, we must be willing to go to war against Israel, to defend Israel, because Israel's our ally. We must oppose the building of the mosque, you know, by a private group on private property in New York City. And down the line, all his deviations are in the direction of the Fox News position. And, of course, he's a big favorite on Fox News, and he's been getting lots of airtime.
Because he'll say this stuff. They really want to capture this libertarian bloc whatever.
And Wayne is their Trojan horse.
Well, that's why Glenn Beck, you know, he was doing what he was doing. You know, he just got, you know, punked by Jon Stewart on The Daily Show for him coming out, you know, just a few months ago saying, look, man, we keep doing all this stuff. We're going to cause the kind of problems that happened 9/11. Then it's a few months later, and he's poo-pooing anybody that even says that. All you do is cut back to Glenn Beck. So it's I can see what the whole goal is. The goal is to try and take the popularity of libertarian philosophy made popular by the revolution behind Dr. Paul's campaign and turn that into this Republican thing.
And of course, it's not working.
No, it's not.
The Republicans, Wayne likes to boast about how he gets lots and lots of media, and compared to most other libertarian spokesmen, he does, because he gets invited onto the Fox News empire to spout, you know, sort of semi-libertarian, three-quarter libertarian stuff, and he never plugs the Libertarian Party. The party's membership, in terms of new members, he keeps bragging about how he's building the party. The number of new members coming in per month has not gone up since Wayne's been getting all his media, because he doesn't urge people to join the Libertarian Party. What he's doing, as I see it, is trying to convince Republicans that I don't know what he's trying to do.
He's trying to get a base for him running as president for 2012 is what he's trying to do.
Well, I believe that's part of it. I do not think he will be successful. You know, Wayne Root, and I don't want to spend too much time on him because he's not that consequential. You know, he ran for president in Denver convention 2 years ago and lost fairly badly. He got 26% of the vote. He ran for national chair 3 months ago and lost fairly badly. He spent more money than all four of his opponents combined. You know that because you were one of those four, mm-hmm. And he lost. And he only got as high a percentage as he did because the convention was located in the part of the country where his support is strongest. Somebody did a statistical analysis, and if every state had been represented proportional to their actual delegate allocation, Root would have gotten less than a third of the votes. He represents a quarter to a third of the membership of the Libertarian Party.
Well, that is
to the right.
Now, this is one thing that I wanted to, you know, we bring it back to your campaign. I bring this up because being the founder of the Libertarian Party, you know, famous, known for, you know, the Nolan charts, known for you, the diamond that
right.
you'll tell people, you know, if you're economic and social freedom, you call yourself a libertarian, get over it. And one thing is that we have, because the libertarian philosophy has been so successful, and because it was so dramatically exposed for the success that it can have with Dr. Paul's campaign, there is a concentrated, targeted effort. And I saw it back, starting back in, well, forever. But I mean, certainly in 04 when it was kind of this, well, we need to wage war a little bit in Israel. And I'm going, whoa, where is this coming from? Well, there's an invasion. It's an invasion of targeted Republicans like Bob Barr and Root and these guys to come in and take the shiny badge of libertarian, put it on display on Fox News and say this is what libertarianism is. And fortunately, certainly the youth know it's not. And now we have you running for U.S. Senate against the Republican nominee for president. This is an enormous opportunity for you to make it clear what hardcore, no compromise libertarianism is, and it stick at least enough so that people have something to latch onto. That's what it really means. That's why it was so important to a lot of people in 03, 04, and then to support my being on the radio for exactly that reason, was to say, look, this is what a libertarian says about it. Not the talking heads in the media, not the Republicans, not the Democrats, not these people that pretend to be libertarian. This is what it is, based on a simple principle. And I need to know from you, as you run in this campaign, what main issue you think that you'd like to gravitate towards to make that case?
Well, very good question. And as I believe I said before, I'm focusing very heavily on the issues of the economy, taxes, and our money system. I believe that most of the problems that face our society stem back to the fact that the government has the ability to steal things, you know, taxes, and to, through the Federal Reserve System, counterfeit money. And I think unless you address the issues of taxation and the money system, you're never going to get to the root of the problem.
When we come back with David Nolan, our last segment with him, I want to make sure that we focus on the economy, because we always knew sooner or later everybody's ox is going to get gored. And are we going to be able to relay that information? And what would stop us from doing that? Who's lying? How? We'll find out. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, we're taking care of business here on Declare Your Independence. Of me, Ernest Hancock, and David Nolan, U.S. Senate candidate for Libertarians. In the race for U.S. Senate here in Arizona against probably wind up being McCain and the other Democrat throwaway. You know, I ran against McCain in 04, and the Democrat, his name was Starkey, and all he wanted, his father was a big McCain fan, and he laid down for him as long as McCain would go to dinner with him and his dad. And I was like, oh, you guys are killing me. And so they always saw McCain as one of them because he always worked with Lieberman and Feingold and Kennedy. You have McCain, Lieberman. You have McCain, Feingold. You have, you know, McCain, Lieberman, different initiatives that they would go on about. And I'll tell you what the one common thing was. It was always support of Israel. And I'm going, there is something weird going on there. And we could spend a whole show on that. But I did want to focus on the economy. And I can't imagine how he would fare up against you, McCain, with his going back, suspending their presidential race and everything, to go back to Washington to support the bailout and all this other stuff. What's he going to say? I didn't do it? I mean, I don't know. What's his response to that kind of stuff?
Well, very good point. If I may, I'd like to read the first paragraph of my three-paragraph statement of purpose that appears on my campaign website, nolan2010.org. And the statement of purpose, I write on my front page, three very succinct paragraphs telling people what I'm about, and then they can click on the menu item that says issues and see more in-depth explanation of each of these points. But the first paragraph says, as Arizona's senator, I will work to end the personal income tax and cut federal spending by at least 50%. We must restore a sound money system and the Federal Reserve Bank, stop bailing out big banks and favored corporations, phase out entitlement programs, and cut military spending. We can strengthen our economy by reducing regulations and providing tax credits for innovative, productive businesses. And that's almost down the line the exact opposite of what McCain stands for. So I think it's going to be very easy for me to call him out on all of these issues. My next paragraph talks about end all overseas wars as soon as possible. Oh, I forgot. We ended the Iraq war yesterday, didn't we?
Right. What's your opinion of that? I mean,
it's theater. It's political theater. You know, they've got 40, 50,000 troops still there. They're going to be there till the end of time. But they've done what Bush did, you know, declare victory and you know, pretend you won, and then you can sort of sneak out at least half the troops there. It's a political ploy. I don't think it's going to work. This is Obama and his crew trying to posture as, you know, see, we said we'd end the war there, and we did. Well, how many people are going to fall for that? A few, but I don't think many people will.
Well, I, you know, maybe enough, and I don't even see it as that, really. I don't have faith in the electoral process, actual tabulation anyway, because it seemed, you know, the one thing that it seems that I can count on is, one, they want to con you or brainwash you or program you or spend trillions of dollars in government schools and propaganda and corporate media and whatever.
All
and
true.
Try to get you to think a certain way. And then it gets to the point where such a large majority of people are making it very clear that, hey, I just lost half of my net worth. Hey, man, I'm not happy. Hey, I got a family member in every family that's out without a job, and those prospects. I have all these kids graduating college. They got this nice shiny diploma and no job, and, you know, on and on and on. And, you know, and I'm supposed to go vote for the same guys that did this? Well, they don't have to convince you to vote for them. They just have to convince you that they convinced all your neighbors, that everybody else you know is stupid. Everybody else doesn't know what's going on. They're not as smart as you, you know, and if they can do that, well, then you just turn the dials any way they want and get what they want. And to think they would lie us into war, they would lie us out of all our resources and our pensions and our 401ks and our IRAs and all this other stuff. They would lie us out of, you know, about the border. They'd lie about everything, but they wouldn't do election fraud. That'd be wrong.
Well, I can't argue with that at all, Ernest. It's clear what they're doing. I think the one thing that's encouraging is that now there are so many options for at least the people who have inquiring minds, which isn't a majority, but it's a substantial and growing minority, now have access to all kinds of information, including some misinformation, you know, via the internet. You know, you're no longer limited to what the New York Times is tells you what news is fit to print. You know, that day is over, and it has been for you know, quite a few years. And,
well, they're just now starting to, you know, find out. I mean, the Arizona Republic, the main paper here, used to be a big, thick, now it's a penny saver, you know, in the week. I mean, you know, this is, it's back of my Fry's Electronics ad. I mean, you know, and it's always spin on the news that you knew 3 weeks before. It's never news, it's old.
Well, that same is true down here in Tucson. The Tucson Citizen folded its print edition. They still have an online edition, and the Red Star, as we call it down here, is down to, you know, a third of what it used to be, and that's because people are not interested. First place newspapers are stale news. Anything that makes it into print, by the time you get a piece of dead tree in your hands with some ink on it, that's not only yesterday's news, that's usually the day before yesterday's news. You can get yesterday's news on today's news on the internet and yesterday's news on television and the day before yesterday's news in newspapers. No wonder people are abandoning newspapers. They've been killed by the fact that, although people don't think of them as a big source of revenue, classified advertising was a big moneymaker for newspapers. You know, they don't cost much. They cost, you know, $3, $5, $10 whatever, depending on the paper. But there's thousands of them, or there used to be, and now they're down to like two pages. It's all on the internet, on
Craigslist.
Like Craigslist. The newspaper industry is dying.
In 2004, I saw what was going to happen with Craigslist. And we were doing a radio program, and one of the board ops was telling me about this Craigslist thing in San Francisco. And he goes, hey, they're starting one in Phoenix, and look at this. And it's kind of going, eh, that's cool. It kind of looks pretty similar. Yeah, it seems like I can see where that's going, though. I go, that's going to be classified advertising. He said, yeah, it's killed classified advertising
it
in San Francisco.
Absolutely.
And well, it started off in San Francisco. So when it did that, we're going, you know what? That is a big, big engine for the newspapers, and I don't think they see it coming, and they didn't. And now that it's here, I can't even muster up a tear, you know. So, and if anybody believed what the newspapers was telling them here about the housing and the economy and so on, they guaranteed they lost at least half to three quarters of their net worth. And I go to Steve Benson, the cartoonist for the Arizona Republic. We're at a party, and I said, and he's going on about, yeah, we're still the biggest this and all that crap. And I said, why would anybody support a paper that cost them three quarters of their life savings? How do you even suppose that would happen? And that kind of set him back a little bit. I don't think he even thought of it in that way. So now we have the internet, and we have campaigns such as yours that is able to at very least make the information available for people to go look at. How do you track your that's one good question. Do you track your traffic and so on? And certainly after the primary, I would think, you know, a couple people might come look at it. Noland, NOLAN, NOLAN2010.org, right?
That is correct. And we have been tracking our traffic, and it's slowly growing, but you know, the daily traffic is still, you know, in the hundreds, not in the tens of thousands, which is what we need by the time of the election. But I see this as an exponentially rising curve. An awful lot of people have told me off the record, and I don't know if I believe them, but people have said, you know, if my guy doesn't win in the primary, I'm going to support you. And we'll see if that happens, but the point is, it's viral marketing. The curve is rising. It's rising faster and faster. You can reach, if not all the voters, most of the voters now, without spending hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars on corporate media. You know, I, like you, I don't watch much television. I see the McCain ads, and they're just really lame. You know, there's that one that shows him standing in and he's got a shot of him silhouetted against the sky with his hand sticking out at an awkward angle. And it's like, they make this guy look like somewhere between, you know, a scarecrow and the body on the old movie, what was it?
Wizard of Oz?
No, the one where the two guys prop up the guy to go to the party on Long Island.
Weekend at Bernie's or something?
Weekend at Bernie's. McCain is the Weekend at Bernie's candidate, you know? It's really kind of sad. I don't know why he even ran again. 74 years old. He turned 74 this month. Why he didn't just bow out gracefully.
Well, why do you think? I mean, they keep bringing him around.
That's his identity. John McCain, U.S. Senator. And, you know, if he'd left his job, once he let go, he's got nothing to identify himself as. You know, he's a former senator, a failed presidential candidate. You know, I think that's the only thing that keeps him going is his sense of self-importance. And that's why he's doing it. As it is, my prediction is that he will win the primary. He will probably win the general, although anything could happen there. And assuming he's reelected, he'll pull a Teddy Kennedy. He'll die in office, and then we'll have to have a special election. If he's reelected, he's going to be 80 at the end of this coming term. And I don't think he'll make it to 80.
Well, you know, you never know. I don't wish anything bad on anybody. Because, you know, my thing is that, you know, a lot of people are like, why don't you run against him again? Or why don't you run against Arpaio? Or why don't you run against... I go, are you kidding me? These guys are the best poster children for bad government I could ever think of. So it just makes our job a lot easier. Well, I'm glad you're out there, David. David Nolan, NOLAN 2010.org, running for U.S. Senate here. And you're going to be hearing a lot more about it. It's always Arizona in the news, and you're going to hear a lot about this particular race once we get into the general. And that's when we flip it on and start having some fun when all of the noise dies down. Thanks for coming on, David. I appreciate it, man. Stay tuned. We'll get that more on the news in the next hour. And in the third hour, Charles Goyette, author of The Dollar Meltdown, going to talk about a bunch of stuff.